Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Call room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bray.
And it's a beautiful day
to save lives.
Thank you very, very much. What is happening over here?
We will be here all day.
Something is happening on my screen, but I don't want to end it because it's also recording well, but I can see a lot of things happening.
I think it's fine.
I just need to not look at it.
I think we just keep going.
Okay, so welcome to the On Call Room, or a Grey's Anatomy podcast, where we deep dive all the episodes of Grey's. We're currently in season 10, episode 13 and 14.
Don't worry, though. We started at season 1, episode 1.
We sure did. If you want more than one episode a week, you can go to www.patreon. Well, I'm sorry. If you want more than just that, you need more of us. You can go to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. All of these levels give you different things like access to the private Facebook group, monthly bonus episodes.
Zoom hangouts. You can co-host. We have a co-host on tonight.
Yep. It's all really wonderful things. And your money literally goes toward supporting this podcast and keeping it going weekly. So we want to thank everyone that does give. And if you're interested, it's really fun, especially our Facebook group.
Yeah, it's great. Another way you can support us, I recently, I don't know if you saw, but last week I did a post on Instagram again about the episode.
Oh.
And so I did some stories. We're at The On Call Room Pod. Find us there. You can also go to our website, www.theoncallroompod.com. There's a forum there. You can connect with us if you have thoughts about the podcast or things you'd like to hear more of or whatever. Shoot us a message there.
Yep. And if you have any like long form message you want to send us, the best way to do that is to go to our website at www.theoncallroom.com. Ah, damn it.
I just said that.
The website?
Yeah.
I thought you said the Instagram.
And then I went into website, but I was going to let you just keep going.
I'm distracted by this horse race that's happening on the bottom of my screen. Like, I wish you could see it.
I'll just come look.
Yeah, come look. So, like, we're recording up here. What's happening?
Oh, that happens to me sometimes. It's cool. Just let it roll. It just rolls with the...
Is this Marge's microphone?
Yeah, Marge is... her dreams, she's just going and going and going and going and going.
Are aliens, like, communicating with me?
It's the government. It's the president. Yeah. He is listening in, wanting us to be the heads of neuro for...
Yeah, the president in Grey's Anatomy universe. It's Fitz.
Yeah.
From Scandal. God, that was such a good crossover. Okay, so, yeah, anyways, email us or send us a form on the website if you want to contact
us. Anyway, whatever.
I do have a review to read, because one way that really helps us get new listeners is by leaving reviews.
Nice ones.
This one is by Helena MZ. I just started listening to this podcast at the beginning of quarantine while not having anything to do, and honestly, I am so glad that I did. These two women have created such hilarious but also very insightful podcast. They managed to discuss the crazy emotional world that is Grey's Anatomy in such an amazing way while also bringing lots of humor and joy to it. Even their conversations not about Grey's Anatomy are a pleasure to listen to, whether it's about periods, lost cats, crazy neighbors with... conch shells, and gold spray painted pots, or Disney Channel original movies. They bring it every time. These two women could honestly make a podcast about the different types of rocks, and I would still listen to it because I'm sure they would still be able to make it interesting and humorous. Thank you for making this terrific podcast. Aww. Thank you, Helena MZ.
Wow, that's so nice.
We should do a podcast about rocks.
I would love to. All my healing crystals.
You like healing. I like polished rocks.
Oh, yeah. Like a Petoskey stone?
Like a fool's gold.
Ooh.
Or the really heavy...
Fool's gold is a healing...
Yeah, they all are. I think it was just they were sold at malls in bins.
Sure.
They're probably cheaper than the ones that are healing crystals.
Yeah. Rose quartz is really nice. It brings in love into your life.
I went to the Mall of America and the only thing I bought was a polished rock.
That's nice.
Remember the cat tiger's eye?
Yeah. I have tiger's eye. You just look around my house and they're in potted plants. They're in next to my nightstand. They're... in my underwear drawer. I don't know. They're all over the place. Okay. So post-op? I'm just going to tell a really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it, well, post-op. The topic.
Yeah. The topic that if you're a $10 listener, you get the bonus 10 minute or so longer portion of the episode. We're talking about Catman.
We're doing it.
There's so a man who made himself a cat on this show.
So if that you love that storyline, pledge to be a $10 attending and you can hear us talk about it.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to tell a really fast story because we have a pretty long episode with Carly. She was great. Our co-host. But I had to go to Secretary of State today to get a real ID. And I moved. And so I had to do it in person. Honestly, I'm going to say I hope to God that they never go back to having people like do walk-ins at Secretary of State because you can only, because of COVID right now, you have to have an appointment. And so my appointment was at 10:30 this morning, which by the way, too, my original appointment, I couldn't get in until October 30th.
Oh my God.
And so I just checked every single day to see if something opened up. And I was supposed to work this morning, but 10:30 opened. So my coworker worked for me. I was like, I got to go to Secretary of State. So I went. I got there at like maybe 10:25 and I was done by 10:40.
Yeah.
It was so fast. But this is the part of the story I wanted to tell. So I was like, do I get a new photo? Because last time I went, I was supposed to get a real ID, but I didn't realize I had to bring my passport.
Right.
So they were like, it's cool. I had a really bad photo. They were like, it's fine. When you come get your real ID, you have to get a new photo anyway. I was like, cool, cool, cool. So I was like, do I get a photo? And
she's were you like ready for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I like did my hair and I wore like a black t-shirt, like kept it cool, you know? I was fucking bamboozled. Let me fucking tell you that like, it was, they're always so fast. You can't ever like quite get ready. Mm-hmm. The first one was the most epic double chin. And this is where I get bamboozled. I say, I'm sorry, excuse me. Can we do one more? And she was like, not having it. She was like, sure, we can do one more, which is like, it's funny
more
that
panic
you, yeah, it's funny that you brought up the Broad City episode. Cause that's what I felt like. I felt like Abby, like I've never had a good photo or whatever. Like the one where there's a bee. It's like my favorite.
She's like, that bee chased me for weeks.
It's like, that was like me. So the thing with this camera.
Move your mic a little farther away from you.
Okay.
So there you go.
So the thing with this camera is like the way that it's pointed, you think that if you like maybe wanted to like get rid of your double chin, you kind of like chin up a little bit, you know? The way it's angled, actually, you should do go chin down, which is crazy. But I went chin up. So the second one was even worse.
No, Brie.
And my face is so shiny. And she was like, that's fine. Like, didn't give me. And I was like, can I have the first one? I look, and not that it matters.
No.
But I look like my face alone that I have, like I was swollen. It's just like so bad. And I was so ready for a new photo. And I was like, fuck, man. And you can't even like, I even thought of like, maybe I should like not smile or whatever, but I'm like, I'm showing Abby what I'm doing. It's full on like neck back double chin. I look like Fat Bastard.
No.
And my hair is like weirdly like, it's not good. It's not good.
And you don't have it yet, right?
No, John was like, let me see. I was like, well, I don't have it yet. It's coming in the mail and you won't see it. And I'm only using my passport from now on and I'm not using my ID.
I need to bring out, my friend Haley had like a terrible thing happen too, but this was in Honduras and they were like making her put her hair in certain ways. The lady's like, no, you need it forward. She looks not well. Like it's so, it's like, yeah, why do people, I feel blessed and also like the shoe's gonna drop at any moment because I went to not the nicest DMV. It was in an old shopping mall that was completely abandoned except for a popcorn store.
And wait, like, over on 28th?
Yeah, in Wyoming. Have you been to that one?
Oh, no, not that one. I was
No, I mean, this was like, I thought I was entering the Twilight Zone. It felt like it was a mall that was probably thriving at one point, but now there's like two stores in business and a DMV in the middle.
Yeah.
And first of all, you know, you can make appointments all the time.
Oh, no, I do know that.
Okay, good.
But then you still have people walking in. Like, for instance, when I had four names called before me, but they all missed their appointment. So had other people been waiting, they would have just been calling numbers.
Got it.
So.
But I got really lucky. I also feel like, so my last one, my face took up most of the square. Like there's, and this one, the camera must have been farther away because there's like my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I'm in a photographer, so I feel like I kind of am conscious of how, and I was like pinch. I was like, I will not just be a face. And I have a good one, which is my point that I'm knock on wood because something terrible is going to happen to me.
Dude, it's not fair. I'm like, so I was so ready for a new photo. And it is like.
Your passport photo is dope.
My passport photo is. I wish I could just take that and put that onto my ID. But you took that one. You're like, okay, like turn your chin a little bit.
Right.
Literally, these people are like, you like go and stand. You barely even smile. And they're like, look at the smiley face. I'm like physically shaking because I'm like, this isn't going well. It's, I hate it.
In Broad City, Abby like wants to be sideways because she can't turn her neck.
Yeah, that's what
and
I.
She pukes in her.
That's what it felt like today. Because I asked for a second one and she was like not having it, but gave me the second one and then was like, peace out. Bye. Like stapled my thing, handed me my license and was like, next. And I was like, oh no.
So sad. Do you think she finds joy in it?
Oh, I'm sure these people are like, that's a terrible photo. Why do they angle it like that?
It needs to be higher.
A little higher.
Yeah. But because short people, they got to be in the frame.
Yeah. And then I need to know, remind me next time. I might just go pay money to get another one that I put my chin down. Instead of up.
That's confusing.
It is. I did naturally what I thought I should do.
I think the trick is pinching your shoulders back.
That's not going to do a damn thing for my chin.
No, but it like, it does though. It like stretches. Yeah. Just be like, you walk in there all stiff like.
Anyway,
the good thing is you're the only one that sees it. The bad thing is
except for with those random nights at a party where everyone's like, let's see your ID photo. And you're like, no. No.
You should tape a different photo over it.
I think I'm going to.
The bartender would be like, and you like, just lift it up.
Yeah, like you'll understand why I did that, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So anyway.
Well, let's take a break and we'll jump into the episode and then we'll come back. Make sure after Carly calls time of death that if you are listening on the Patreon app, you don't stop because there's
don't ever stop.
Don't stop till you drop. I have a air bubble in my throat. Okay, take a break. Hello and welcome back. Actually, Marge, I hope that the meow that Marge just did was picked up on the microphone. We are back and we have the lovely Carly scrubbing in with us. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
It's so great to have you.
Welcome.
We always start by asking you, like, who are you? And what do you spend your time doing?
Okay. Well, I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I work full time as a dispatcher for over the road truck service, and I'm also a part time Starbucks barista.
Whoa!
Dope. So you get to
I've been keeping busy.
You get to use the what are those radios called?
Sort of. So ever since COVID, we've been working from home, but I do have like a headset and my phone is in the computer. So we sort of, dispatch out repairmen to fix like, trucks and trailers that are broken down on the side of the highway.
That's what Jake did. That's what Jake's job was.
Gotcha.
He was a trucking and your job is hard. You're like always on call kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, why he stopped because he hated that. It's hard.
I like it just because, I loved being in the office, but you know, ever since COVID, like we've been working from home. So yeah.
In the office, did you ever get to use those radios that go over the whole, like all of the trucks can hear them or no?
I don't think so, but we have those for when our like phones are down. So then they break them out and
So I used to work for the refuse department. And so we would have a radio that like everyone could hear you. And it was so scary, like training on it. Cause you'd be like, this is Bray. Like, you know, and then at the end you'd be like 10-4 and It's really, it's very scary when you know that everyone in the office and every single truck driver in the
city
of Grand Rapids can hear you.
Yep.
I loved, and this was just like, I felt like all of the people that worked under Jake, like the truckers were very interesting, unique human beings, like all had wild stories. And my favorite was looking them all up on Facebook. That was an activity that Jake and I had. He's like, oh, that's just Pirate Bill. And like, why is he called a pirate? And it's like, oh, he has 100 face piercings. Like, he is a pirate. So that was my favorite part of when Jake worked there. But that's exciting. And Cleveland, you're not too far from us. Fellow Midwesterner.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if I have the accent, but I mean, I've been told, I don't know, Midwestern accent. I don't know.
I think it's pretty, yeah, it's a pretty tame Midwestern
accent. Do you like Six Flags? Or I mean, Cedar Point?
Oh, I love Cedar Point. They actually, they're open right now, but they have so much restrictions. Like you have to wear a mask everywhere and everyone has to stay 6 feet apart. It's kind of crazy.
You have to scream. What is it? Scream in your heart. That's what the, about the roller coaster.
That's like how I feel. Like someone, like a meme of like, that's exactly how I feel. Also, I wonder like if you can have like, if they space out on the roller coaster, like if they do less like.
I feel like you're breathing each other's air once you go through. So
anyway, okay. When did you first start watching Grey's?
So everybody always says that they watched at the beginning, but I actually started in early 2016. So I'm kind of fairly new.
Welcome.
But it did not take me long to catch up though, honestly. Just binge. So
did you watch it on Netflix?
Yep. Yeah, I did. And when I started, it was actually the season or when Derek died. So like that's what I ended it on. So, and then from there, I've just been watching it live.
Now, did you have spoilers? Like, did you know things were going to happen because you waited so long to watch it, or was it not really in your universe?
So I knew Derek died, but I didn't know like exactly how it happened. And that was surprisingly the only spoiler that I saw, which I mean, it was okay for me because I remember on the first watch, like, I'm not really liking Derek as much. I don't know why. He's just kind of, I mean...
Kind of a douche?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's the word.
What did Sonia's husband call him?
Like,
in our group?
Douchey McFly?
Yeah, something like that, which we shall now refer to him as. Crazy. I love that. I love that you like started new, but yet you liked it so much that you rewatched and now you are a patron of a podcast.
Yeah. And talking about it. Yeah. So, that's great.
What about who's your favorite character?
So, I feel like a classic answer is going to be Meredith and like, we all love her, but I also really love April and Amelia. April's storyline is so interesting to me. And I feel like her character goes through like a roller coaster. And I just recently watched the episode where she has her crisis of faith. And that truly, I mean, I can not even relate to it, but it just touched me. And I don't know why. It's just incredible storytelling.
I think you're right. It's incredible storytelling. That is actually maybe one of my favorite episodes of Grey's Anatomy, or like maybe the newer ones.
Yeah.
And also, I just think she's a great actress. You know, she really portrays that.
Yeah. It's a good episode for you then. Lots of April.
Yeah.
Yes. And then what about favorite couple?
So I feel like Mare Dare is just iconic, but also I really love the friendship between Meredith and Alex, especially that Alex is gone. I just rewatch and all the moments that they have together really make me happy.
Yeah.
So
there was one in this, and we'll talk about it in this episode, where Meredith hugs him and he like leans in to finally hug her back. And I was like, oh.
I know. Like I need it. Well, you would be that friend. But like when you don't want to hug, but then someone hugs you and then you're like, okay.
Yeah,
it's so good. What else do we ask?
What is an unpopular opinion you have about Grey's?
So I thought about this. And outside of the Facebook group, like I follow a lot of Grey's people on Twitter and everybody loves Meredith and DeLuca, but I don't understand like why they're together. I don't know. I really hope that that's over with because he's not right for her. I don't know.
I'd love them to be friends. Like since Alex is gone, I feel like
I think they'd be good friends.
And she's never had it where she like sleeps with someone, but then they don't work out, but they're still friends. Like she's never slept with Alex. She's never slept with like a lot of her. Well, she did sleep with George, I guess. He tried.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, I think that's a good unpopular opinion. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we like to ask, how did you find the podcast?
So basically, like I just searched on the podcast app for Grey's Anatomy because I love this show so much, but I don't have a lot of people in my life that enjoy it as much as I do. So it's just been nice just to like find this community and just, you know, interact with other people that love the same stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, we love that.
We also didn't have any friends.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, we realized there are a lot of people out there who love Grey's
Anatomy. Never stopped liking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so we today are talking about season 10, episode 13 and 14, Take It Back and You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Do you want to read the first
short
summary?
The doctors face the consequences of the events that took place at April's wedding. Meredith feels betrayed when Derek goes back on a promise. Alex is furious after returning to the hospital and hearing the news about his father. And Arizona and Callie decide whether or not to move forward together. Meanwhile, Bailey realizes she was wrong about the motive behind Ben's decision to move back to Seattle.
And this is for the next episode. After an anonymous complaint is issued by one of their own, the hospital implements a non-fraternizing policy.
It's a hard word.
It is a hard word. I keep wanting to say fraternity.
Yeah, it's not.
a non-fraternizing policy causing the couples to panic. Meanwhile, Emma and Owen talk about the future. Christina and Meredith enjoy a little girl time, and Richard enlists the residents to help research a rare cancer case.
And for the monologues, for the first one, every day a surgeon makes decisions that can go one of two ways, either very good or very, very, very bad. The problem is the epically great decisions and the epically bad ones look exactly the same when you're making them. Looking back, it's easy to see when a mistake has been made, to regret a choice that seemed like a decent idea at the time. But if we used our best judgment and listened to our hearts, we're more likely to see that we choose wisely and avoided the deepest, most painful regret of them all. The regret that comes from letting something amazing pass you by. Meredith Grey.
And the next one, also by Meredith. Cancer is a biological bully, always picking a fight. And it'll sneak up on you. It'll wait until the body feels safe, until it feels healthy and strong. That's when cancer will move on in and get bigger and bigger. The body never even saw it coming because cancer is the master of surprises. You can try to hide from a bully, but hiding won't work for long. There's really only one way to win. You have to fight back. And if you're lucky enough to get out alive, take just a moment to celebrate before you put your guard back up, ready to fight the next one. Very downer.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, so which one do you want to do, rounds or patient or shotgun workup?
I can do shotgun workup.
Go for it. Take it away.
So we have James Evans. He has organ failure and sepsis. Then Robert Fisher, fractured arm, abdominal tenderness, little girl, head injury, loss of consciousness. Shane Ross, facial lacerations. Lisa Campbell, degloved left leg. Rory Williams, osteosarcoma. Lee Fromini syndrome, and Ariel Williams, Lee Fromini syndrome.
And for rounds, we're all over the place. We have April Jackson leaving the wedding, what happened immediately following them getting married and then telling the other doctors. We have Meredith and Derek fighting about the presidency job. Well, not the presidency.
Derek fighting to be the president.
The new president. I'd vote for him at this point.
That's true.
Derek gets offered to lead the advisory board for that project. We have Jimmy dying and Alex dealing with the grief. And along with that, like how he deals with Shane and how Shane is back at the hospital. We have Ben Warren working at Gray Sloan Memorial, taking Heather Brooks's place. Arizona and Callie buying a house together. Leah Murphy filing the sexual harassment claim to HR, the non-fraternization policy, and how everyone deals with it. I feel like that's a big one. And then Christina sleeping with Owen and Owen breaking up with Emma. I have a lot to say about his breakup with Emma.
All right. First notes.
First notes. You first.
My first note is the shot of J'April is beautiful. April's face when she gets in the car is crazy. Like when she freaks out.
Oh yeah.
Her dress though, like flowing and like that's how every bride should have a running moment.
Yeah.
If they want to.
Yeah.
You need a running
moment. I need a running moment. Yeah. My note was turn around again and those doors open and here they are. Oh. And then like just the next part of like the way they look at each other made me want to cry.
Yeah. I said, dude, leaving your own wedding with someone else would be insanely frightening. And then I said, I love how she immediately freaks out. But yeah. then like they have such great chemistry, those two. Oh, yeah. Like honestly, chemistry in actors makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
It's why like Christina and Owen shouldn't be together, but they have really good chemistry. So you sort of get attached.
Yeah. So what do we want to talk about first? Because I also feel like the first like 3 minutes of the first episode, I was like, shit is hitting the fan in everyone's life.
Yeah, let's maybe, because there's a time jump too, which I swear to God, I blinked when it like said that.
Dude, I did too.
Okay, because then I had to, I like looked on the page. And I was like, how much time has passed?
I never saw it.
It's 3 weeks.
Great. Good to know.
It was very confusing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Joe thought she was engaged. And I was like, where is this coming from? Okay, let's maybe talk just about real quick what happened immediately following the wedding and just go through each thing.
So we find out that Derek has said yes to the president.
During the wedding?
Which...
yeah, he also crazy. Tells Meredith at the wedding, wouldn't you wait till you got home?
Yeah, that's not great.
So yeah, she's pissed. We have, obviously, Jackson and April left. Arizona having a breakdown. She's helping Callie load all the gifts into like a car and she's crying. And I did write down the quote because we've been talking a lot about how we feel like Arizona doesn't like, she feels like she needs, like Callie's trying to fix her. And she says, I'm not the same person that I was before. I don't want to apologize and I don't want to be fixed. And then she's like, just come home. Let's talk about it. And she says, it's not my home anymore.
Right. And then we Yeah, it was sad. And then we have Ben and Bailey fighting, and she's telling him that this was supposed to be different than her first marriage. Like, you're supposed to understand that I want to be in surgery, and because you moved back here, you don't want to be in the surgical program. And Bailey then realizes after Ben yells at her that he never wanted to leave. He doesn't want to leave surgery. And then it's 3 weeks later.
It's just weird because... Go ahead, Carly.
I was going to say, I do have a note. When he was yelling at Bailey, I wrote, he switched career paths over at least 10 times in the show. What he's saying is irrelevant.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes.
Like him being like, I finally found what I'm looking for. Right. And then he becomes a firefighter.
I will say too, though, like it's weird because she never asked him to come home.
No.
Like I know he was worried about her. And so like that.
But also I feel like sometimes in marriage, you don't ask people to do things.
That's
true. You know, how often do we say, I don't want to have to ask you to do that. So
but then
they can't win. They can't
win. She can't be mad at him then for coming back. But yeah, we learn he still wants to do surgery.
Right.
Which, yeah. And then also we see Stephanie sitting outside the hospital and she's like, sort of in her wedding outfit.
Breaking my heart, man.
Yeah, and Leah's giving her a hard time, like, whatever about the wedding. Like, this happened with Shane, and she just goes, my boyfriend ran away with the bride. And they all just sort of, like, pause. Meanwhile, Shane is bloody and asleep on a bench.
Yep, sleeping on that bench.
And there's actually more.
With April, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
So then April freaks out. She says she can't do this. She gets out of the car. And to walk, and I said, where? And then...
into the fog.
Yeah, literally. And then I just said, so much is going on in the first 5 minutes of this episode. So she's pretty much like, leaves Jackson. And they're like, we're left on like a cliffhanger of what's going to happen.
Yeah, it was cool now, like looking at the episode in retrospect, because it's not until the end of this episode that we learn that they're together and what happened. Because I remember thinking, oh, I didn't know they were like apart after the wedding. Like...
Yeah.
Which they weren't. But
right.
It was a really creative way, I feel like, of them doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's maybe talk about Arizona and Callie, just because we've mentioned them.
So I'm going to say my first note is see Arizona and Callie buy a house.
I've been saying
this on the podcast for weeks, and I've been waiting for this to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting that the reason they did it is because, like, well, the way Arizona describes that, like, when she looks at the new house, like she doesn't see a hospital bed in the living room or a shower she had to be dragged into. Like she needs a fresh start. But it's wild how they go from that breakdown to like very cheery.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened?
Right,
in
that's
those
what I was going to say. Like,
yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Like what made them go from like, I want to say like not screaming at each other, but just having like a breakdown in the parking lot of the wedding to buying a house. But it's good to see them happy because I feel like, from at least up until now, it's been I want to say since like Ben and Bailey's wedding, since they've like really been happy, like post the plane crash, really.
Right. I agree. And that's,
it's not going to last long either.
No.
Oh.
I do.
Wait, you've seen all the episodes, right? Like through Korea.
Yeah.
Okay, good. At first I was like, oh no, I just spoiled something for you.
So then at one point, like they're, so Callie's all concerned about like a blood stain. It's not a blood stain. It's a rust stain on the carpet. And Arizona just asked her, like, can you just try? Like, can you try and see this as a good thing? And so I feel like once Arizona asked Callie to do that, she gets on board. They're super happy. And she's just, and Arizona's really trying to like move forward, I think.
Yep. I think so too. I mean, she got it out of her system saying they're like, I don't want to be fixed. Quit yes. talking about that.
Yeah. So then.
Yeah. The next episode. First of all, I appreciate Callie. This was how I would be. I'd be like, you said you wouldn't. You would unpack one box today. Get your ass in here and unpack a box. Yeah. But when she opens it, there's like, is it like a Tiffany's box?
I don't know, it but it's like a huge ass sapphire.
Huge. Yeah. And.
Is that a sapphire?
I don't know.
I'm going to say it is.
She said it was. I thought it was really cute. Get Callie's idea of like, this is a fresh start. Like, you know, whatever. But also whenever people do huge grand gestures like that to fix problems, that to me is like a Band-Aid.
Or like a bad sign, like a bad omen. Like this is
a black ring. Yep. No. but she gets her that. And inside the ring is the date that they moved into the house. So.
Yeah. April. Arizona seems like kind of shocked by it, but then puts it on and seems happy and whatever.
Rubs it in everyone's face all day.
She wants to show it off.
That's what I would do. Look at my huge ass rock on my
Wouldn't
hand.
Wouldn't you also be like, I would be nervous. Granted, like they all have so much money, I feel like, so it's not an issue, but I would be like afraid like to like.
You don't have your wedding ring on.
I haven't been, my fingers are too fat in the summer.
Oh, I see.
I'm actually.
Or are you not married?
I got a divorce.
I'm so sorry. You yeah, can move in.
I'm married. I am asking you to leave the altar next summer. I've told you this.
That's totally fine.
But yeah, so I just, it was good. But part of me felt like Arizona's showing it off was like, she felt like she needed to do it because Callie was like, oh, are you going to show people? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyways, mm-hmm. I just was reading into it. But there's really not that much else that happens with them.
Well, I guess the last thing that happens with them is when they're going to sign the papers.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
Like, you know, Callie's like super worried and stuff. And Arizona just ends up saying that like shit could break down in a year from now, which it kind of does.
It does.
But like in this moment, like she wants to be happy and she wants to move forward and let's like put our all into it. And I appreciate that.
Yep. Carly, honestly, do you have any other thoughts?
I was just going to say like, it's kind of nice that Arizona is the one that's like pushing for this fresh start. Because at the beginning of the season, we were dealing with her cheating on Callie. And it's, I don't know, it's nice to see that both of them are sort of like on the same page about, well, I guess, starting over, I guess, and building something new out of all the stuff that they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think it's a nice way of showing that like both sides of the party tried mm-hmm. when it comes down to it at the end, you know, we can't be like, well, Arizona never wanted to try. Like they yeah. both had ways of trying. Okay. Brie, you get to popcorn Brie. What topic would you like to do next?
I want to talk about, let's go like big storyline here. Let's talk about Leah Murphy.
All right, let's do it. I, in rewatching this, so we've been kind of talking about this coming, but I couldn't quite remember the details. And I am like, especially in 2020, like high fives, snaps to Leah.
Yeah.
Because she has, like, they have very valid points, especially when you put all of their stories together. Like all of them, Joe, I guess Heather Brooks was the only one that didn't. I mean, she slept with Alex, but nothing else. But like Shane, all of them have had issues with their superiors romantically. And so I just felt like the way that she talks about it, like, and Shane talks about like how their education is a privilege. It was like, I was like, you know what, that this, I think I used to think she was like outrageous sort of, but now it like makes, as I'm older, I'm like, yeah, that makes a shitload of sense.
Well, I love the line that she said, they are our bosses and we are expendable to them. Like, yeah. And that I think is the core issue here is that, and she starts pointing out all the different people of like Ross slept with Christina and mm-hmm. Leah and Arizona, but she also with Karev, you know, and then
also like Stefan Jackson.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I think it's like kind of the last straw for her to see Steph say, mm-hmm. I should move. Like, I should find a different program. Yeah. Leah's like, fuck you moving. Like, we shouldn't have to leave a great program right. because he used you and he mm-hmm. like used his position of power and then humiliated you. I never thought of it this way, but when he said he humiliated you in front of your friends and coworkers, mm-hmm. like she has to go back to her job right. knowing that everyone knows that story.
Yep.
And half of them were there, you know?
It's also interesting that before the board meeting is called too, is there's that, Weber accuses Owen of being, we'll talk about Shane later, but like, he's like, are you sure it has nothing to do with who he slept with? Like, it's even affecting mm-hmm. like the superiors on their own level. Weber's the only one that doesn't, Catherine, what am I talking about?
Yeah,
he does sleep with someone. but it's a sexual harassment, quid pro quo harassment, and hostile work environment, which the quid pro quo I thought was great because even Callie early this season said something to Joe, like, don't just flirt for surgery, like, flirt for, like, really big surgery. You know, like,
to cut.
Yes,
exactly.
flirt to cut.
Well, and so then this emergency board meeting is called and they present like this is someone has this complaint and everyone looks at Avery. Like it's very uncomfortable. And he's like, well, maybe I can like try to talk to this person or whatever.
He thinks it's Steph.
Like, everyone thinks it's Steph. Yeah. I mean, because it's not just he thinks it's like literally all That's of the true. Doctors look at him like, fuck Jackson, you know? Yeah. But you know, Owen is just like, this isn't about talking to one person. This is about our work environment in general in this hospital. And yeah, like I appreciate Owen owns up to it and is like, I'm not like exempt from this either. So
he puts Richard Weber in charge of the whole task force. He's in charge
he's the panty police, which I wrote that down because that is so funny that Owen is the panty police and then he basically hands it off to Richard.
I feel like Richard would call underwear panties.
Oh, of course he would.
I feel like that's fitting.
But it makes sense now that, because I have a note of why is Richard even there? He isn't on the board, but now I
understand. He's in charge, yep.
Gotcha.
Also, the second one, which is I feel like very much about this like policy starts with Alex and Joe having sex, Owen and Emma having sex. Like yeah. It's a very like sex filled mm-hmm. episode.
Meredith withholding sex from Jared.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it ends up being there's a zero tolerance policy and there are no relationships between like a boss and their subordinate.
Unless you're married.
Right.
Which I also, this is before the like love contract comes into play also, mm-hmm. but Joe, she was a little bit like much for me in this. Like, I understand that she has like the whole thing with like she thought that she was proposed to by Alex, mm-hmm. which did yeah. was that an actual scene? Was that just when at the wedding when he said the thing about like we're all each other needs, yeah. right? Okay, yeah, I would not have known that was a proposal.
No, that was not.
They were by the elevators. This is like early in the second episode. They were by the elevators. And I don't know. Alex called somebody.
It's Jimmy's wife or ex-wife, the second one.
Yeah. Like he was talking with her. And then he casually said, oh, this is my fiance, Joe Wilson. And then suddenly she freaks out.
Yeah. Which I think crazy. I would too.
Well, I would be like,
so casual.
Wait, did I miss my proposal? I didn't know that.
Right. And so she's like, has that issue. But then on top of that, there's this, she's afraid that this policy, like, because they're not married and whatever is going to be an issue.
She ends up calling out Steph and saying, you're making my relationship illegal.
Yeah, which is just like, child.
And also I love that Steph was like, pretty sure it is supposed to be anonymous. And Joe's like, pretty much like, and walks away or whatever. I love too that Steph doesn't call out like, I didn't do this.
Right. She doesn't want to put whoever did under the bus.
Yeah. Like that's a good person
yeah.
who like owns it because everyone clearly thinks it's Steph.
Right. That fight between Joe and Alex in the beginning. So I didn't remember that that's like a fake fight. And I just wrote, this is, I said, they're fighting in public, which is exactly proving the point. Then Alex breaks up with her in front of everyone. This is horrible acting. And then I go, what is happening? Oh, damn it. It was a joke. I was fooled. Like, I totally was like, this is terrible acting. They would never do this.
Yeah. Like crying and like,
yeah, yeah, she fake cried.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She sure did.
Yeah, I did love it too when they like called each other on the phone and she was like, thanks for doing that for me or whatever, you know, and he's like, no problem. He hangs up and he has like a cute little smile on his face. It was sweet.
He must really like her. That's like an embarrassing thing to do.
Super. Well, but think about Karev. Like Karev.
He doesn't fucking
yeah,
care.
He just beat the shit out of Shane earlier in the hospital, you know, like yeah. He doesn't have any problem with that.
And so I guess we could talk about in the scene when she is yelling at Steph about the complaint. I just kept writing, this is so rude. We find out like Leah Murphy comes sort of clean, which the intern or the residents are all in that room together because Weber put them on, which I feel like Weber was like, you know what? I'm going to teach them teamwork. And they're all working together on that poor patient, Rory, and her cancer and like figuring out what to do. And so they're all in there and Leah admits it. And she says that she feels like her medical education has been compromised. And then they do end up like working together because Ben Warren is like, ugh, hey guys, let's focus on this. Like, I don't know. It was a little bit like hokey for me how they like come up with the solution and like,
they're all like
running,
like finishing
each
like,
other's sentences.
Yeah.
Each other's sandwiches.
They're doing, the camera was doing the, wasn't it doing that thing where it was going around the room? And I was just like, oh my God, this is a little bit a lot.
Yes. A little bit a lot. I totally agree, Carly. Well, and then there's like, so when Joe is going off on Steph and then Murphy comes in, it's Ross who's the one who is right. Like, this is a privilege. Like our job is a privilege and what we get to do. So everyone pretty much shut up. Like, let's move past this and let's get this girl a way.
Yeah.
Let's save her pretty much. And I like that Ross said that, but also I really do like that Leah stood up for herself in her medical education and it sucks being the person and people finding out that like, okay, for example, I got someone fired from my job when I was a server and he was like made a lot of women. He did some really inappropriate things, but like all of the men really loved him and it sucked real bad when everyone finds out that you're the one who's like, no, I'm not comfortable and he has to get fired.
Right.
But it has to be done. Like, stand up for yourself. And yeah. I think you're right, Abby. Like, a couple years ago when we watched this for the first time, I feel like Leah comes off as kind of like...
Yeah, I'm like, mad that Arizona doesn't like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, Arizona...
like a rat. Like,
yeah, yes,
you know?
When really, I'm like, dude, Arizona fucked her over.
Yeah, and Avery yeah. fucked Steph over. Yeah. And like, I love yeah. Avery and April together and... But like, I really felt for Steph in these episodes when she's crying and saying she wants to leave the program. And when Leah's like, you were humiliated. I'm like, God, yeah, she was totally humiliated.
Yeah. It's also like such a, I feel like a Grey's learning experience that of course they didn't come up with this idea soon enough and Rory died. Like, you know, like
who's Rory?
The patient. With,
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
how like they're like, yeah, you know what? We do this. And then like they have this like magical cure. And then it's like, they're like, yeah, that might've worked.
Yeah. But
you fuckers were too yelling at each
yeah.
other.
They were playing a, like during that scene, there was a very intense cover of Man in the Mirror playing yes. by Michael Jackson. And I was like, wow, this is very Grey's. Like, <Yeah.
laughs> I had to Google.
Being so intense.
I had to Google the lyrics because I was like, I know this song, but yeah, it was MJ. So weird that it didn't, like, I couldn't think about.
Super slow down version.
Of, yeah, yeah. And so I was Googling the like words and I was like, oh, duh, like Man in the Mirror. But then there's a note in trivia we'll talk about that, like, all of the songs are from the 80s. Covers. Also with the policy then too, there's the end sort of scene when they're in the board again, like they're in the meeting room and Alex is there, Joe is there, April is there and Jackson. And Alex is like, I love how he's just like blowing up on them. He's mm-hmm. just like, I appreciate
pretty much like fire me.
Yeah, I appreciate it a little bit because this is like the period of time when him and Joe are like, I mean, they fight, but like they really love each other. Mm-hmm. And so I like to see him being like, I'm going to be with her and I'm going to work here. Like figure it out. Which is why
you tell him, Karev.
Yeah, exactly. Which it would be really nice and sexy to have a man like be like, no, fire me. I'm going to be with her. I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this is what makes him come up with that contract.
Yeah. And so he dips out and, you know, Jackson and, well, the reason they're in there is because Richard walks in on Avery and April and
both of them,
Karev and Joe. And
it's
of course,
always Weber. Always Weber.
And so I think he's the panty police. So he had to bring him into this meeting. And then I felt bad for Joe because Alex pretty much walked out. April and Avery ended up telling the truth about their commitment to one another. So April's like, sorry, gotta go. And so Joe's just left in there to be like reprimanded about.
Just because she doesn't want to get married yet.
Yeah.
Like, and also too, because I feel like we won't hit on, we will when we talk about Alex actually. Never mind. So that's pretty much like how that ends. Although now I'm thinking about it, because we'll talk about Owen, like him and Christina are sleeping together now. Is that not allowed? Because they're both superiors.
They're both superiors. Okay? Yeah, I think that's
it's
fine.
It's just subordinate.
Yeah.
Okay. Subordinate seems like such a sad, like it should be like just as good, but just not as experienced. Like subordinate just seems to me like you suck. I don't work in a workforce.
Abby works for herself.
Yeah, there's just me. Anything else on the sexual harassment claim?
I don't have anything, Carly. Do you?
I think that's about it.
Did you agree with Leah filing the claim?
You know what? Like, I'm going to be honest. Before we started talking about it, my first note about Leah is Leah Murphy is the worst. But about it with you guys, like, it makes total sense how they've been treated unfairly. And especially when Joe was in the room when they were all when Alex was sort of defending the relationship, I almost like thought to myself, like, this is kind of why, like, maybe Leah did it, you know, because it's not, I don't know, it's not fair that they keep getting treated like, you know, if it doesn't work out, then they're sort of like ousted, I guess.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
Yeah. And they're not able to get an education and like, these doctors right. refuse to teach them. And
I will say Leah's still not like a favorite character.
No.
But this, I'll support this.
Yeah, she definitely frustrates me, but I think she did the right thing.
Can we maybe, because we're talking about people sleeping with each other, can we talk about Christina and Owen?
I think it's important to just quickly say that Christina and Meredith are friends again because they had it out at the wedding.
That's all it took.
Yeah. And so now like Meredith is pissed at Derek. Yeah, so thank God she has Christina and invites her over to like come hang out and she's not going to come. But then she says something about like there will be wine and Christina's like,
I'll be there.
Like, that is me. So Christina and Mare end up getting pretty drunk and then Derek shows up. And so Christina leaves and snags a bottle.
She snags a bottle. Also, how the fuck is she? Well, clearly, at first, my first thought is she can't drive home. Then she says she's getting a cab. And I'm like, how does one get a cab in the woods?
And also, is she just going to sit outside?
And wait for it? And then it makes sense when she shows up at the trailer, which I assume is in walking distance because it's on Derek's land.
Oh, right. It is on Derek's land.
Right. So I would like... That part made me laugh.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay.
But I love how she is just like...
I also love, too, that like Meredith didn't question, like, you're going to get a cat. Like,
yeah, she's just like, goodbye. Like, okay.
I feel like I could not get away with that with my friends. They'd be like, you're going to Owen's. Like, if it was in like, no, you're not doing that. Like, my...
Yeah, I would be like, I'll call an Uber. I'll wait for know where you... And you'd be like, no, Abby, I want to go sleep with Owen.
Yeah, you'd be like, well, you can't do that because he's in a relationship.
Yeah. So also, too, it was very funny, which this is more about the Derek thing, but Derek comes back, you know, and also before that, Christina says to Meredith, it'll be really over. It's not really over yet. It will be really over when Owen and Emma make babies because then you can't interfere. Like once there's babies, it's off limits.
Yeah.
But she kind of makes the point that it's not over until there's babies. And then she also says about Derek that the president dumped him, which is funny. I love the scene when she shows up at the trailer, but I'm also like, oh no, because she's so drunk. Like, it's hard to see.
I feel bad for her. Yeah. I really do. But I love that she shows up, and I love that she snags a super expensive bottle of wine up in like Derek's collection. And then, you know, you can tell she's kind of like, here, you and Emma have this, but she's really trying to figure out if Emma's there.
Right.
And Emma's not. So then cut to them finishing this bottle of wine together.
They're
and talking about
window
balances. And
I love how she calls her mom. Like, oh, that God, is the yeah. ultimate, you know, like, and also I've been there where like you need to know the answer to this question and you're just so like, I'm going to figure it out. And then she just, hangs up on her.
It's so funny.
That's her mom.
Cause her mom's an interior yeah. decorator. She's like, yeah, no mom, I'm fine. But what are those things called?
I just feel like I think she's just sad. She just says to her, she says to him, and like looking, they're like looking very close into each other's eyes. And she says, it never occurred to me, you know, to get window treatments, which I feel like is almost like a super metaphorical, like, I'm not the same as Emma. Like, Emma thought to put curtains here.
Yeah.
I never did. Like, you know, I never even thought to do that. And then they make out and then they
have sex. I kind of forgot that this happened, that they have sex again, because I couldn't remember how him and Emma ended up breaking up. But then once this happened, I kind of remembered. But anyway, there's this part, and it was, so when they start kissing, no, I'm sorry. It's when he goes and holds Christina's hand when she says something about like the valances. It never occurred to me. He goes and he holds her hand. And if you listen to the lyrics of the song, it says, until it ends, there is no end. Moving forward all through the night. But until it ends, there is no end.
So until she's gone.
Oh my God. I was like, GGBs, I'm going to cry. And then they have sex. And I said, this just makes me want to weep, weep, weep.
She did write weep, weep, weep.
And then there's Emma saying, sorry, she can't come around or couldn't come around the night before.
Yeah.
That's
so like
the next scene.
No. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The next scene is her saying, which is also devastating because what she wants, I feel like, is what Owen like wants. Ultimately, I know he says he doesn't, but like she's talking about bedrooms and she wants two kids, maybe three. She plans on not working until they're in school and being the kind of mom that walks them to school, and she needs a good school district. I love that she's like coming clean with all this before they go look at houses, like getting it off her chest. I feel like, oh, okay. Let's remember in the current season, Owen cheats on Teddy, right? Right.
No, Teddy cheats on Owen.
Okay. Well, then he deserves it because he fucking did this too, right?
Yeah, Teddy.
Right before they were going to go look at houses. Like, he doesn't know what he wants.
No.
Well, this is what he's wanted. Like, I feel like throughout the show, this is all that he's wanted. And I know we'll get to it, but when he breaks up with Emma, he says, I wrote it down, he's like, you give up surgery for a family. Like, I want to come home and exchange OR stories. But all he has wanted is a normal like family and just like kids to come home to. And I don't understand how Emma should ideally be exactly what he wants. But I don't understand why they didn't. I mean, I don't know.
I think because he wants Christina. Like,
that's, well, yeah, because at one point, like, when she says she wants the two kids, maybe three or something, I don't remember exactly what happens, but it's something in regards to, he's talking to another doctor and Owen says, like, your standards have changed. And I wrote, like, oh,
to Derek about you can't go back to surgery.
Yes. So Owen says, your standards have changed. Like, I get that. And I wrote, Owen's standards have changed too. And he can't go back. And I feel so bad for Emma.
Yeah.
Because he says, I want someone who is equally as passionate about their work. And it's like, you were demanding Christina to want to be a mother.
Right.
But now
they were in counseling for it.
Right. Yeah. And
it's crazy to me.
I think he wants Christina to want
to be a surgeon and a mother.
Right. And he's not okay with someone else. He wants Christina, but he wants her in a different way. And it's just so, his standards.
And then he wants
changed.
Emma to be a different way. He doesn't want her to stay at home with the kids.
Right.
Like, he wants her to be equally as
he will never be satisfied.
He will never be satisfied. He wants to her to be equally as dedicated to her surgery like Christina. And but I do think even if Emma was, I think he just wants he wants Christina.
Especially after banging the night before. I loved how Emma said she didn't want an apology. She wanted an explanation.
Yeah.
Some strong woman moments in these. Also, I just wrote, this is fucked. What if he doesn't fall in love with a surgeon? Like, he basically is like, my type is, sir. I know he's talking about Christina, but like, yeah. If you're just Emma, you're like, wait, so you, it has to be a surgeon. And they like,
you have to exchange stories about your day.
Which then we have Amelia, then we have Teddy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, no,
maybe this
did.
Is why we don't like him so much, is just because he's so particular in what he wants that, like, if somebody doesn't have a certain thing, then he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm out or something
like
that.
Write you off. Yeah.
I wish I could literally insert, he will never be satisfied, because that is like, he won't be. He's Alexander Hamilton.
You strike me.
I mean,
my notes are, God, what does Owen want? He wants a family, but he wants that woman to want to be a surgeon too. Yikes.
This is setting us up for the second half of the season where there's going to be a lot of Christina Owen tension moments. They're both not going to see anyone else. The Shane thing is over. The Emma thing is over. And ultimately, like, Christina's going to leave. And that's why it leaves open, not open-ended, but in a very, that's why you feel so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not over till it's over, whatever yeah. that song said.
Oh, it makes me want to cry. I don't like Owen, but something about Christina and Owen together just makes me want to cry. These ending episodes are just so hard.
Yeah.
Because they both know it's not going to work.
But
they love each other. Fuck.
It's like you and
such
me.
Such great writing.
It won't work, but we love each other.
So much. Okay. So, well, we kind of knocked out the...
We got Ben Warren, we got Jimmy and Alex. What do you want to talk
and
about?
And we got Mare and Derek.
Oh, yeah, and Mare and Derek.
And April and Jackson.
Oh, let's save that one for the end.
Yeah.
The last note I have about Christina is right in the beginning of the first episode, when they're all trying to pack things up, I love when Christina is like, you know, I wasn't a huge friend of Kepner, but now I'm a fan or something like that.
Yes.
That
She says, I'm not just a friend, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I love that. So good. Christina's funny. Yeah. She has a lot of good
I know,
one-liners.
I want to be as funny as her.
Yeah.
I never will be.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. No. But Alex is the one, we can talk about Alex next, but when he is freaking out about his dad, Alex is actually the one that tells Owen about Christina sleeping with Ross.
I just caught
that when I was watching it back. I didn't realize that that's how he found out. That's how Owen found out about them too.
Let's just talk about.
He
this
says
whole...
he's screwing him.
Yeah, that's a good Alex. Yeah. It's like he's.
I wrote angry Alex is back.
Yeah,
Richard says, so Alex comes, it's after the wedding and Alex is back. And I don't think that Shane should have people standing up for him, but I'd like that Richard understands, like, he was hallucinating. Like, he was calling him
Heather.
Yeah. And that's when he says, you're screwing him. Then there was another Hamilton reference, because in all caps, I wrote, why is Alex introducing Joe's fiance? What did I miss? There's so much Hamilton in this.
Yeah.
Virginia, without them even home, sweet home, I want to give you a kiss.
Without them even realizing.
Yeah.
They wrote Hamilton.
So Alex gets Naomi, who is, it's the woman, I don't know if he was ever married to, but the woman that he had the son Nikki with, like the most recent family.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex gets her to come by lying and saying that Jimmy was dead. And I don't know.
And she wasn't, or he wasn't.
Yeah, which I feel bad for Jimmy a little bit, but I like how Naomi's like, oh, fuck no. Like, I don't want to see him. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's not worth my time. And she leaves, which is, and she takes the guitar.
Rightfully so. Like, I mean, yeah. He doesn't seem like he was a good father. So, I mean, I don't blame her. You know?
her dig at Alex was a little low when she says, I don't know what Jimmy sounds, or I know what Jimmy sounds like when he's full of crap. You are 100% his son. Oh. I was like, okay.
Like, whoa.
You just met him. Sure, you did fly across the United States to come see someone you thought was dead. But you did get your guitar back, okay?
Yeah. So then, like, everyone's screaming at each other. Joe, like, gets confused, confronts Alex about, like,
the proposal.
Are we engaged? Was that a proposal? And then she ends up saying that she doesn't want to get married, like, not yet, at least, or whatever. And Alex is all pissed and pretty much tells her, like, fine, walk out on me. And she's like, dude, this is grief, clearly. Like, we can't get married because you're grieving. And
yeah, she should have said grieving. She says because you're screwed up about your dad.
Oh, she does? She does say grief at one point.
Yeah, she does. I just had that line.
And then he's like, whatever, man, and walks away and she punches a vending machine.
Yeah, her and Alex are meant for each other.
That was very intense. Like, I didn't think she could break that.
No, my next note is no one is okay.
I have always wanted to, like, throw something when I was really mad. Mm-hmm. Like, in Little Fires Everywhere, and she throws the plates.
It's great.
But I've never talked about this on here. Oh, yeah, but I've never done it.
Maybe just take one of your plates and throw it in the street. It's really
I need to keep a plate on standby, like a one I don't care about.
But throwing it, I've always wanted to throw it against a wall.
Yeah, that's, but I don't want to clean it up.
No.
I just walk into my neighbor's house, hang on one second, throw it and then leave.
I think that's like assault. You'd get arrested for that.
You wouldn't be able to explain to them what happened.
Right. Just go listen to the podcast. You'll understand. Okay, so then Grev's all pissed off about, like, Joe not wanting to marry him, Lady leaving, his dad's dying, and so then the Shane and Grev scene.
Yeah, which this is also after, so Shane comes back and Owen is just on his ass, like, which rightfully so, like, he did do a very bad thing, but Owen is just being in the operation. He's, like, making him describe the anatomy, like, things that I'm sure matter and you learn at one point in time, but in that moment aren't necessary. But he, like, really shames him, and, like, even Richard tries to, like, stop it. And he ends up backing away, Shane does, and Ben Warren completes the surgery. And it's right after that that Ross goes to apologize to Alex. Alex gives him a warning. He says, walk away. Mm-hmm. Shane takes a step forward. And then Alex beats the shit out of him.
Which is like, I was like, God damn it. This happens all the time. That Krev beats the shit out of someone.
Yeah. He likes it.
I think about what you guys said in the Farewell Alex bonus episode. You said, you were reading from an article and it said something along the lines of, like, this is why we love Alex Krev, is because he takes, like, a few steps forward and, like, massive steps back. It's just a constant reminder of, like, you know, he's complicated. Like, he's not trying to, like, get better. You know, he still has part
his
of
demons.
Himself that, yeah.
I feel like his past, like, you can overcome your past and you can learn tools to get through things. But, like, ultimately, that's what he grew up in, that situation, like, witnessing that.
That's, like, his response to things.
Right. Which, mm-hmm. like, it's also a lot, like, why I felt like him and Joe were an interesting match. Because, like, she has such abandonment issues that she's overcome. But that doesn't mean they're gone forever. It just means you have the tools to work through them. Like,
right.
You're always going to carry what you went through with you. And, like, sometimes you take steps backward.
Yeah.
That's a really, Carly, mm-hmm. snaps.
Yeah.
For nice bringing job, Carly. That up. that was great. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to talk about the next scene with Meredith.
Yeah. In the one right before that, though, I just wanted to bring up, before he beats up Shane, he comes in to, is this when he says to Christina and Mayor, he's like, is it time? Like, is he going to go? And, Christina's like, is he having these issues and whatever? And Mayor just looks and is like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah. And he, like, leaves. But I just like that. So they know where he's at.
Well, he, like, ends up saying to Meredith, like, not you too, Mayor. Like, of all the people, like, you should know.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, irritated with Meredith that she's asking if he's okay. And then Christina and Mayor pull Shane and Karev apart. And then the way Meredith hugs Alex and he has, like, one hand on her back, and then she's like, Alex. And then he like wraps both arms around her. I was like, God damn it. They're such good friends.
Yeah.
He just really needed a hug.
And she like really pulls him to, you know, she like makes him a bit more sane.
Yeah. And she's like, and I feel like softens him a bit, you know, and brings him like back to reality.
And in the same way, I like how, I mean, Christina even says early in the episode, like, she does not like Shane. You know what I mean? Like, she is upset with him. But when they're in the room together and she's cleaning up his forehead, Ross says, like, he just thought if he came back, kept his head down, it would make up for what he did. And Christina says that he deserved this. But then right away, like, she lets that sit for a second. And then she's like, oh, I got a photo from, you know, Nathan's mom. And she's like, it's one of those annoying ones, whatever. And then she just says, but actually it's miraculous, revolutionary. You saved a baby, Shane, because you had the idea to 3D print the conduit and wouldn't stop pushing until I said yes. You made some bad choices, but that was a good one. Moving forward, make more good ones.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was great advice also. Like, you're not all shit. Just start making better choices.
Right.
Oh, and then Alex ends up sitting with his dad.
Ugh.
That's and really I just sad. Feel, I mean, I feel bad for anyone who has to, I mean, I think it's both a privilege and super hard to sit with someone in their last moments of their life. But I think it's extremely complicated when you have not, when you don't have a relationship with your father and, or you have a lot of anger towards them.
Right.
And so clearly like Jimmy's really struggling and he's panicking about his, you know, wife and son not showing up. And I just thought like, what a moment for Alex to like give Jimmy what he needs and say like, they called, they're coming. They know you love them. Like you can go, and giving him permission to go. I think it's so huge for Karev to be able to do that. And then he dies. And he then says Alex says, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Which is like perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say when you die. You son
you
of
son,
a bitch.
I'm, you,
no, I'm dying first.
I'm dying first, or you're dying
I'm
first?
I'm going to. I lied.
You're a couple years older than me, so it makes the most sense.
You're supposed to say no.
I'll be fine. Okay. I'm totally kidding. No, we'll go out in a blaze of glory together. Like, okay, just podcasting while we do it.
Perfect. Yeah, so that's all I have with those guys. So I'm trying to help me out. This episode ends with Joe and Alex, they're together, but they're upset about the love contract, but they don't want to get married. Joe doesn't want to get married, but he's okay with that now because his dad died.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They're like on good terms.
Okay.
They're having a lot of sex.
That's true. They are.
Yeah. Carly, do you have anything else about that storyline?
Nope. I think that's about it.
Cool. Maren Dare?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Derek
said yes.
Said yes to the president.
I wrote which, brain mapping. This is the end of Maren Dare.
Yeah, it really
because
is.
I really don't think that they, I feel like this is just like the downhill spiral of them, which is so sad to say because they've had such a big build up and they deserve to be happy, but they were happy for maybe like a season and now it's gone.
Because they next season he goes and they fight the whole season about him going to Washington.
Until like the last day, right?
Until like the last episode. Yeah.
God.
So
makes
bad.
You think about things in your own life about getting pissed off about shit, you know?
Yeah. So wow, you're right. That's such a good point. So this is literally, I feel like their happy moment was when he gave up work after baby Bailey was born. There was that short period of time. Yep. And then the president had to come and fucking ruin it.
Yep.
Just like one done. I mean, you know what? It's not Obama anymore. I'm gonna pretend it's Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it easier.
Makes more sense.
And then he goes to this like lunch thing. Did anyone notice that weird window with the ferry boat out of it? That
I
looks
did not.
Super fake.
Like, I wish I did.
Oh, it was funny. They like sit down and there's just like this beautiful ferry boat in the back. I was like, of course there's a ferry boat there. And then they are asking Derek all of these questions and things and they know. And then they ask about Michael Butcher or something.
Yeah, Michael Butcher.
Or Butcher.
Derek sends his mom $3,500 every month. I really thought this was going to be a bigger storyline and it was such a letdown.
Like there was an accident. Also, why doesn't Mara know this? Do they not have their finances together?
They must not. I don't know. But I was expecting some like big reveal, like Derek accidentally murdered someone. I mean, he did not do well. But like, so that part was interesting to me, that it was just like, he was in a hockey accident and he just sends the mom money for, is the kid alive?
I don't know. I would think so, for his care.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those things where he just needs extensive care. And yeah, I thought it was weird that Meredith didn't know about it, even though they've been married for like 4 seasons now or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that door opened. So then, okay. So then Meredith like gets kind of mad at him.
Yeah, I love how she says, stop talking about your duty to God and country and admit you want to do this. She wants him to admit that like he just, it's not that he has to, it's that he wants to. And then he does. And she's like, well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah.
And I like to, like, there's a couple moments in the beginning of the second episode when, like, she comes in and she says, I want neurosurgeon Dr. Shepherd to get the job, not my husband, Dr. Shepherd, which I get that feeling.
Yeah.
And then
he made the promise to her. Mm-hmm. Like he said that he wanted her to prioritize her career because she really hasn't had that since she had baby Bailey. Mm-hmm. So this is her chance to, like, you know, I want to say almost catch up to Christina and just like show off her skills. And he's totally taking the spotlight and prioritizing, you know?
Carly, I think you're right too. And even bringing up like the Christina thing, I think it's not even just about like Mare herself. I think she wants to get to where her other, especially Christina, but her other
colleagues
are. Yeah.
And two, it's such an interesting, like, her being happy and sad for him. Like when he comes in and he thinks that he didn't get the job, you can tell that she's like,
not necessarily happy.
No, like, cause she also feels for him as a doctor, like what that would feel like. And so it's just an interesting, like, I feel like a lot of times in a relationship you can be put in, like all the time.
Like for instance, with like John, when he had to go back on nights and we knew like, yeah, it was the best thing for his career. But I was like, I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
And I hate that you have to make that choice. It's really, it's a hard thing. It's like this dichotomy within you. So, but I think that the catch to all of that is like, it's the promise that Derek made.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing that really pisses Meredith off is like, you promised me.
And she's also finding joy in being mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's having, she's not mad at Christina anymore. She like kind of says like his guilt makes her feel better.
Yeah.
The nicer I am, the guiltier Derek feels. And then eventually Christina's like, screw the guy. Because Christina tries to like say like, oh, well, like he's doing good things for his career. And Mare's like, you're really going to defend him. You know?
And then she
sometimes
doesn't.
You just want your friend to just be like, yeah, like he's being a jerk, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's all I ever want my friends to do is like, he's wrong. Yeah. You are absolutely right.
Do not play devil's advocate unless I ask you.
Yes, exactly.
But then another Hamilton moment, Derek will never be satisfied going back to neurosurgery.
He just can't be.
He has to go on the board and he's just like not ready to do that.
Which is crazy to me because 5 seconds ago, he was happy pulling away from his work and his research and just being with his kids. And that's the joy. That's the job I want. And now all of a sudden, he can never be satisfied.
Because he could have worked for the White House.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end, the White House calls again and they want Derek on the advisory board. They want him to run the whole project. Mare is, again, it's that dichotomy. She's frustrated. She says it. She like names it, but then she also wants to have sex with him because it's sexy that he.
And it's been a while since they've had sex because she's been withholding. So, So that's where we're at with them right now.
I do love when, the first episode, like when they're fighting and she takes the phone and Meredith's like, Dr. Shepherd cannot come to the phone right now. He's fighting with his wife. Mm-hmm. That was so funny to me.
Yeah, and he's like,
Owen, are you crazy? Do you think I'm crazy? Yeah.
Do you think I'm out of my mind?
Yeah, that is that's great.
So good. Okay, we have this one won't take long before we talk about April and Jackson. Ben Warren. So he did not want to actually leave surgery. And so now we find out that Ben, in that 3-week time period, he is in the surgical program.
As a resident.
As a resident at Graceland, which I didn't realize he was a resident already.
Yeah, they're all residents.
No, I know, but Ben Warren like just went to that school.
Well, I think he went there about the same time the interns came to.
Right, but I thought he had to like do med school.
Oh, no, he's already.
He's an anesthesiologist, but they don't have to do the same. I think they
rounds.
Like, I assume they have a lot more school. So that just, I want to like research that because that confused me. How like in the same period that they were interns, he went from just being an anesthesiologist to like, he didn't go to med school.
Like, no, you go to med school.
Sorry. But like, is it the same?
Yeah. Like you do, so you do rounds with med school. You do things up until a certain point and you do rounds of all these things and then you go and you specialize.
Okay.
And so he probably chose anesthesiology. Or he did, clearly. And so
got it.
Then he went into a surgical program to start those
got
rounds.
It.
And yeah.
I guess it feels like he just left, but I guess it has been like a season or two. So he's back. And I love the storyline of how like he is the old guy. They think he's really old. He doesn't quite fit in. Bailey packs him a lunch.
Which is accidentally Tuck's lunch with a dinosaur and like, have a good day, big man. Don't forget to wash your hands or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Do you remember that? No, that Richard, he like pulls out his lunch and it's in the shape of a dinosaur. And then like Richard reads the note and it's like, have a great day, my like sweet boy. Like, don't forget to wash your hands.
That's when him and Richard and there's one other Jackson.
Ross is there
too. Ross. Yeah. Are all like having lunch together. It's very
yeah. Because funny. Ross doesn't eat his apple and everyone and Richard seems concerned that he's not eating because he had lost his shit.
I also like Bailey is constantly trying to get the gossip from Ben now that he's like in it. She says things are topsy-turvy all over the place and I don't know anything, so spill. And
which is funny to me because in like first seasons with the other interns, she was like, I don't want to know your shit. Like, don't give me any of the deets. Like, I don't want to know anything about your private life. And now she's like, let me know all of the things, please.
Give me the tea.
She spill the tea. Ben also says to her in that moment that the only reason he has this spot is because of Brooks passing away, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's on him because he like has a heartburn or something. And she's like, you did eat the pizza. And I love how he goes, it was a burger. And she goes, the plot thickens. Which is like such a good line.
And then they all go, all the interns or residents, I guess, I'm sorry, go to Joe's and they invite Ben to go. And it's cute.
Go on, go play with your friends.
Yeah.
Don't stay out too late.
It's cute.
It is.
It's cute that she's like not threatened by him going out with his resident friends.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he's back.
Yeah, I'd be like, yes, please. I want to go home alone. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But she says it sexy, like,
yeah, but like, come on home.
Watch, she comes home, she's snoring.
Yes.
Carly, do you have any thoughts about Ben and being back at the hospital?
I really didn't have a lot of notes about that. I did have notes about the cat patient, though.
Yeah, well, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We're going to share ours for the post-op, but tell us what you thought about Catman, please.
Well, my first note is, oh shit, it's the cat. And then he just goes meow and it cuts to the green screen. But I did have a note how, I forget the exact words that he says to Steph, but it was something along the lines of like, he did all this reconstruction and now he wants to fix everything. Cause he's telling Callie how, he's saying something about how, or Steph asked, you know, is this how you want to be perceived? And Callie said something along the lines of, well, I like it. And then eventually he decides to just get everything reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Steph goes to Jackson and says, you know, you telling me you feel guilty only helps you, not me.
Mm-hmm. I love that line.
That was so, when she said that, I was like, oh, Steph, you know, she's not letting him, she's not taking any of his guilt. You know, she just wants to move on, which rightfully so. But
dude, totally agree. I love that she says that because she's right. Like, it's only going to make Avery feel better.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. she says, you want to do something useful, fix the cat man.
Yeah.
Which I feel like yeah. that's her just being like, prove to me that you're not a terrible human being.
Yeah.
It's also interesting when he tries to talk to her. So when Jackson's talking to Murphy earlier in the episode and he says, I had no idea I was going to do it, not until the moment it happened, which like I believe, but also like that doesn't make anyone feel better.
Right.
And yeah, that you like, to me, if I were Steph, I'd be like, oh, so you didn't even have to think about it? Like you didn't dwell on right. this decision?
Like it wasn't planned or like, right. I don't know.
I liked the cat. We're going to talk about him a little bit, but yeah. I thought it was an interesting, like at first I was like, what the fuck? Like when there's just a weird thing like that, but it did sort yeah. of have like a meaning and the cat had a soul. Mm-hmm. okay. Let's talk about April and Jackson.
Yeah. So the first kind of episode, like after they run out of the car and stuff and we get to 3 weeks later, I don't remember who it was exactly who said that, like, they're not even together.
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was? Was it Leah, I think?
Maybe.
Who's, like, kind of freaking out at Avery. Yeah, I think it's when he hits yeah. back with, like, I didn't know I was going to do this or yes. whatever. She's, like, kind of mm-hmm. like, what was the point? Like, Steph's alone, you're yes. alone.
April and Jackson are all alone. Like, yeah. yeah.
Like, you're all alone. What was the point of even doing this? So we're made to believe, like, it didn't end up working out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing happens with the sexual harassment thing. And so after the board meeting, Avery goes home.
Right. When was the, I'm trying to find the scene where it shows what happened. So like we, in the beginning of the episode, you know, they're arguing or she goes out of the car and it's like, I can't do this. When is the thing about them going to Tahoe? When does that happen?
That's at the end of the first episode because he comes home like, and they wrap, like...
She wraps her arms from behind.
Yeah, and he was, like, making mm-hmm. them dinner. And then we see the wedding ring. And then it flashes back to that night.
Which is so beautiful. I love how she says... Because this is true. She goes, we destroyed two lovely people so we could date. Mm-hmm. Which, like... And right. then Jackson has that realization. He's like, I don't want to just date. I want the whole damn thing.
I want all of you, April.
Can you imagine? That's a damn proposal, Alex mm-hmm. Karev.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take notes. Yeah. Take notes. Yeah. And I love at one point, like I think it's Jackson says the best solution is to never speak to any of them ever again. So funny. And then he says, I don't want to just date you, April. I want the whole damn thing. And then he's like, we can drive to Lake Tahoe to get married. And
when he remembers he has to talk to his mother.
Yeah, he's like, oh God. Cause like he's ready to go for it. And then April starts saying all these things and he's like, oh shit. Oh God. Like this isn't good.
Also, I do think though this was such a great decision because it's true, like they're just gonna date now. Like, no, like if you're gonna do this and destroy these people, it needs to be for a lasting reason.
Yeah.
I mean, way.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we find out that they're married by the end of the first episode, but they haven't told anyone and they're keeping it very quiet.
Yep. And then in the next episode, April's patient is that woman who was dating the man who was married, who did not treat her well. Yep. And like she fell in the dumpster thing and was it, or the con, like the
that shoot, the compo. The
comp- oh yeah. The sh- yeah. Shoot, oh my God. Compact. Now I have a new nightmare.
Yeah.
And it, the first person that they tell is actually that patient when she like goes on a limb and asks Jackson what he's doing tonight, which felt so bad for her. I was like, man, she was taking her shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, I have plans tonight with my wife. This is my, you know, my wife. And
no, they don't even say it. Oh, he just says with my wife. Oh. And then she says, he should really wear a ring. And April says, I agree.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
because
yeah,
April didn't want him to wear his wedding ring all episode.
Got it. And then she was like, took it off his hand.
Yeah. And then she was kind of telling Avery, like, I agree. We should start telling people now.
Yep. And also they end up telling, or no, they don't tell Alex and Joe. Alex and Joe know they're together because they walk in on, they come in the closet when they're having sex, but they don't know that they're married. They're
not yet. Like, and April tries to tell him and Avery goes, not the time. No. And then they end up telling everyone in the board meeting that they're married.
Yeah, that's when Christina says, she already said the thing about being a fan, and she just goes, Kepner, you continue to surprise me. I just love that scene. That proposal scene is so iconic. and really, like, it's almost like candle, Meredith Derek candlelit house, like, mm-hmm. level of good. The only thing that's a little unrealistic is the way she, like, jumps and hugs him. If I did that to Jake, he'd, like, fall over.
Yeah, it makes me really happy. Carly, what do you think of it all?
I love them so much, and I cannot wait until we get to the episode where they have all the flashbacks of them two together, because then we see exactly, like, what happened in Tahoe, because I remember they were having some, like, doubts about, like, getting married while they were up there, and, like, you know, April was saying how she wanted her family there, and I just love how they made it a point for her to question everything, because when you do something that bold, you know, like, there's gotta be a part of you that's like, are we really making the right decision? And I think the monologue in the first episode talks about, like, they can either go really, really well or really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we know until at least the end of the episode that, you know, it went better than expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good writing. It's a really great episode, I feel like. And yeah, that sentence, it says the problem is the epically great decisions and the epically bad ones look exactly the same when you're making them.
Good pull, Carly. That's, from the monologue.
Pulling all sorts of good nuggets. What about random notes, everyone? Random thoughts. Anything else that came to mind?
I have when they're talking to each other and, like, about getting married or should they not? Why do I have a note that says bears ?
Because she's like, he's like, what are you going to do out here? There could be bears. Or, like, when she's just going to walk away. I just keep thinking it looks like the same exact place on the set where, Maggie and, him get stuck in the fog.
In the fog.
It's like the same set.
Probably is.
Yeah.
There was a thing they're trying to spit into those things, and Callie tells them to think about dill pickles to make your mouth water.
Yeah.
And my question is, Brie, when you think about dill pickles, does it make your mouth
water? Yes, it makes my mouth water. Also, when I think about...
Warheads?
No, that too. No, banana peppers.
I don't know what those taste like because I've never eaten one. I'm not a big fan of them. I think I've had them before.
What do you mean you've never had banana peppers? I always put them on my pizza.
Have them on pizza.
Yeah.
My dad always eats them, but I always avoided them. I think he made me try one once.
They're so good. My mouth is watering thinking about them.
Are they pickled?
Yeah. And they're not, like, I don't get, like, hot ones. I just get, like, the mild ones.
So it's like a pickled pepper?
Kind of.
What's the word banana is what it is.
They don't taste like bananas. No banana taste.
Wow, maybe I should put one on my pizza.
Pineapple, banana peppers, bacon. Boom. Best pizza ever created.
Sounds so good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The salt, the sweet and the salty and the mm-mm. Yeah.
Have to try
I love it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have any notes.
Carly, do you?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Okay, notes and trivia. You go first.
The title originated from the song Take It Back, originally sung by Pink Floyd.
The episode scored 9.42 million viewers.
This episode starts with the phrase previously on Grey's Anatomy, said by Jackson.
I noticed that. Cool. No, like, usually,
I know, but it's just funny. That's
the wedding
note.
Dress worn by Sarah Drew was custom made in Italy.
Oh, wow. Though no one explicitly said so, Alex joins Christina and George in the Dead Dad's Club as...
I wrote that as a note. I didn't even see that on here.
Oh.
It is revealed. Oh, yeah. This was a nugget that Amelia is still sober and going to meetings.
All right. This episode title originated from the song You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, originally sung by the Beatles.
This episode scored 8.21 million viewers.
Filming for this episode was scheduled from December 10th to December 20th, 2014.
Each song in the episode is a cover of an 80s song, a trend that will continue for almost every episode the rest of the season.
Bokey is assisting Alex and Richard when they put in a chest tube in a room. It's the first time since season one that Bokey is seen in a patient room rather than in the OR.
Whoa. In this episode, there is a character called Brian Williams. Gaius Charles played Brian Smash Williams on Friday Night Lights, but the character was a football player.
Cool. All right, Carly, who did you choose for your Catherine Fox Award?
I had two options. So for the f- for the first one, I said Stephanie, just for handling everything very, very well, in my opinion. I honestly don't think I would have handled it that well if I was in a position. But I also said like Alex for sticking up for him and Joe, even though he kind of lashes out in the beginning. I think it's kind of amazing that he sort of like sticks it to the man and tells him like, no, we're going to be together or I'm going to leave or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm going to go Leah.
That's who I was going to say too. Or
Stephanie.
Part of me wanted to say Derek because he fucking got the job.
Which is, all right, Derek.
Nice. He advanced the plot. But he also ruined everything.
Yeah. I would feel good with either Stephanie or Leah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Filing the claim.
Yeah. What do you think, Abby?
Now that I think about it, I'm going to change my answer to Leah because all of my notes are talking about how Leah is the worst, but when we talk about it, it's like, it's changing my mind, honestly. Like, well, she really kind of was brave.
You are allowed to have your own thoughts as well and disagree with us. That is it is a safe space. But if you are influenced by that, then call us influencers and give me a promo code so I can start making money off these thoughts. But no,
I think Leah, well, yeah, because too, because I don't think she's ever going to get it again.
No, she's not. This is the end for her.
Yeah.
Stephanie's definitely going to get it when she throws the rapist down a fiery hole.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we'll give it to Leah this time.
What about rating it out of 10 scalpels? Carly, you go first.
I said 8.
Nice. So did I. I said enjoyable, exciting, whatever.
I said 8.5.
Nice.
I don't really know why, but I added the 0.5.
She swallowed the fly. She'll die. Perfect. And then our favorite part, boards. Carly, this is your chance to tell us things that we need to be watching, listening to, anything. What do you recommend for everyone?
Okay. The first thing, I have been on a Friday Night Lights rewatch.
Where?
All the seasons are on Hulu. So, yes. I didn't know if you knew that because I actually didn't find out about it until you talked about it on the podcast. And I saw it because I watched too much Grey's. So I need to sometimes have something else going
on. Have a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been really loving Friday Night Lights.
Isn't it so good?
It is so... And that's the thing. Like, I really didn't think... I'm not a huge sports person, but it is just so good. And it's so funny to see Ross on Smash. Friday Night Lights because he's such a different character.
Yeah.
But
I need to know where you're at in the show. Like, what season?
Actually, like, I finished it all.
Okay, good. So I don't have to, because some people, when the thing happens, this
don't say because I'm
not going to.
Okay.
When the thing happens with Landry, people are like, whoa, this show got weird. But you got to push through. And also, again, this is not a spoiler, Brie. I sobbed in the finale when he says this again to Michael B. Jordan, when he says, I'm so proud of you. I think I cried so hard. It's such a good show.
Sounds like an emotional scene.
Oh. You would love it so much, Brie.
I'm going to watch it sometime.
Connie Britton is a queen.
I'm going to watch it.
Just like you're going to read Harry Potter.
Those two.
I am 5 books into Harry
I'm
Potter.
I'm just kidding. I know, you're doing great. You're doing great. You'll binge Friday Night Lights much faster than Harry Potter.
It goes by very fast. And I love Coach Taylor and Connie Britton. Those two have such great chemistry. You'd think that they would be like, they're almost, I want to say they're almost like Mare-Dare level of chemistry. Like, I love them so much.
My last thing, are you more of a Saracen girl or a Riggins girl?
That's such a hard question, but I love them both for different reasons, but I will say Saracen just because he's just so sweet.
Yeah.
Like,
sounds like you guys are talking in code.
I know, but I just have, I know there's other people that watch the show. So I just have to say too, like, he kind of reminds me of like a nicer Karev. Like, he's just got anger and he's got problems, but like, he's super damaged, but you love him.
Yeah.
That's like, so is Riggins, I guess. But yeah, so good. Okay. That made me so happy. What else do you have to recommend?
I do also love The Handmaid's Tale, which is also on Hulu.
Yes.
That show is so wild. Like, when I watch it, I find myself like literally glued to my couch because I can't move because it's so like petrifying, but so good.
Yeah, that's a great show.
And I think honestly, the last one I want to say is the new podcast from Jamil Jamil called I Weigh. Have you guys heard of it?
Wait, what? By who?
Jamila Jamil. She's is it a good place?
Yeah, I follow her Instagram account.
So do I. Yeah. But I didn't know she had a podcast.
That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, and so basically, it's about instead of like you know physically weighing yourself, it's she talks a lot about how you should weigh yourself as in like, honestly, like measurements of love, sort of like weigh yourself based on like things that you love and, you know, I guess your personality, not just, you know, the number on the scale, which I love. And she has some guests on there. Like I think she had Reese Witherspoon and Demi Lovato, and they just go in depth about how just like how to really like love yourself more being a female. And I love it so much. It's so good.
I love that. I'm going to listen to that and add that to, no, this is someone else. I was looking at, I'm going to add that to my list. I also wanted to, while we're talking about, podcasts for Grey's fans, Ellen Pompeo was recently on Jemele Hill's podcast, which is called Jemele Hill is Unbothered. It's on Spotify only. But it's like an hour long conversation. And it's really good because I feel like for celebrities, like podcasting allows them to open up a little bit more because they're not really being filmed. They're mm-hmm. not like, they can have deeper conversations. And she talks a lot about like her choice to stay on the show and mm-hmm. like, and why she chose it. She talks a little bit about like Derek or like Patrick Dempsey, not like anything we don't know, but, and Jemele Hill is watching Grey's. So she like, it's got a perfect amount of like really good conversation about allyship and like racial injustice in the world. And like Ellen Pompeo and Jemele speak to that. It's also got a great balance of like actually really interesting Grey's Anatomy talk that I feel like we don't normally get
because
she doesn't do that many interviews.
Yeah.
Like, so, it's really good. It's on Spotify. I think she's like the most recent guest.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
Well, Carly, thank you for all of your boards. So we got Friday Night Lights, Handmaid's Tale, and the podcast I Weigh.
Yep.
Do you know, is that on anywhere you can listen to podcasts? Or it's not just like a Spotify
one? I think it's on the podcast app. It might be on Spotify. Perfect. I'll have to check though.
Awesome.
Perfect. We are so thankful that you're a patron and have brought such good insight to this episode. We are just really thankful.
Yeah, we're really grateful that you
spent
your
evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was great.
We would love it if you would call Time of Death for us.
Okay. All right. Time of Death, 2053.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.